generation is largely shaped after experiencing the World War II. Many of them underwent poverty, instability, and uncertainty. As such, many from this generation value security and stability. In the years after the war, many from this generation was part of rebuilding Singapore. This generation grew up with hymns, and being Christians in their younger days then looked very different as a young person being Christian now. This is the silent generation. The next generation are the boomers, okay, or baby boomers. Like their predecessors, they were taught to be loyal and to stick to tradition. But this generation is also usually the black and white generation. Right is right, no other way around it. That is why they will do whatever it takes to ensure that the worldly influence do not infiltrate the church. They value purity, esteem good biblical teaching, and this generation actually makes a majority of church leadership all around Singapore. And next, we have the Gen X. Okay, this is a very special group of people. They place a high emphasis on values of family, and the data in the book shows that this group or generation of parents spend 3 to 4 times more of the amount of time with their children than they did with the previous generations. There's this emphasis from Gen X to be focused on people, not programs. And Gen X recognizes that there are different seasons in a different person's life, and each should be valued and respected. The authors observe that the turnover rate from this generation is amongst the highest across the other generations when it comes to leaving the church. And without the Gen X in the churches to serve as a bridge, the younger generations, I'm going to introduce next, the millennials and Gen Z, the result is a generation gap. And next, we have the millennials, which is my generation. We are the hyper-connected generation, information at our fingertips, and we are very known to be tech-savvy, not me, but our generation. We listen to online sermons, we read Christian resources and articles on our own, and that perhaps also explains why many from my generation have left the church. Because many from my generation finds that they have enough and there's no need for a church. Just looking back from my batch, I'm born in 1988, and there were many few who joined the church when I was young. Currently, there's only myself and Yong Jie left in this church. My generation value community, and we value freedom. And from this generation onwards, that means for me and younger, we often ask why, or why cannot. We challenge the status quo and innovate new ways to do things. And lastly, we have Gen Z. Okay, and this is our youth and young adult, because our Gen A is currently in Sunday school. So the youngest youth in our youth ministry around Sec 1 or Sec 2, that's the lowest for Gen Z. And actually, many of our youth leaders, which are 26 and 27, that makes up the Gen Z today. Gen Zs interact very largely with their non-Christian friends, their educational influences, and popular culture. But because of this, it has cast doubts on the church and Christian teachings that they were taught since young. And this is why many from this generation feel that the church is not engaging issues from the world that are facing today. For example, climate change, racial discrimination, inclusivity are but some of these issues this generation is burdened about. So I hope to use the letters in the Apostle Paul that he wrote to his young disciple Timothy to exhort us to understand how then can we entrust the Christian faith to the next generation just as Paul did to Timothy. First and Second Timothy are two different letters written to Timothy. Timothy had been a very faithful companion to the Apostle Paul. When Timothy was younger, Paul met him at Lystra on his second missionary travel, and he recruited Timothy, and he followed him to do ministry. And that was until the church in Ephesus needed some guidance as the church was facing different issues. So Paul sent his most entrusted co-worker to Ephesus. He sent Timothy. And Timothy was there to do two main things. Number one, to preach with good and sound doctrine. And this was because the Ephesian church had lots of false teachings. And just in the book of 1 Timothy alone, you can see there's this teaching that talks about how they forbid marriages and even teaching Christians to abstain from certain foods. And this can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The second thing that Paul sent Timothy to go to Ephesus is actually to tidy up the church leadership. See, many of these people that were teaching such false teachings were actually church leaders. So he was there to ensure that these people were not in leadership. And some of them were even told, we are told from the text in 2 Timothy, that some of them preach for financial gain and they abuse their office to do so. So Paul sent Timothy to entrust to faithful men to teach in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So even though Timothy had good character and was known to have good reputation, and this you can read from Acts chapter 16, he was actually still a young person compared to the Apostle Paul or even the elders in church. Paul picked up young Timothy lightly when he was a teenager. That would then mean he was around 13 or 14. And the letter to 1 Timothy was written around 13 to 14 years later. And that would approximately make Timothy around his late 20s or 30s. So Timothy is a millennial, like me. And Paul was likely a boomer generation. I cannot say boomer, it's very offensive. Boomer, if the letter were written today. So Timothy was young, and he had to face many issues as a young person. So let us see how some of these issues that Timothy faced are still very much issues our young people face today. Number one. IFNGT means issues facing new generation today, in case. I got no space. The first and the most obvious reason how a young person struggles is they are being despised for their youth, distrusted for their age. In Paul's words, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Paul is not writing this letter to the adults in Ephesus and say, "Hey, can you stop belittling young Timothy?" Paul already recognizes that the society Timothy was living in will have a tendency to look down on him because of his age. And likewise, actually, for many of our young people in our time today as well. I recall talking to a young adult, and he's a Gen Z, who graduated in traditional Chinese medicine and had started practicing at an actual TCM clinic. And I asked him if his patients would rather see a more senior, usually elderly practitioner than a 20-year-old TCM practitioner. And his answer is yes, of course. I don't think many of us would use the word despise to describe our attitude towards the younger generation. But perhaps there's a lot of doubt on whether the young person can do the job well. And so was it with Timothy. Even though Timothy had 13 years of direct mentoring from the Apostle Paul himself and 10 years of missionary experience, yet Timothy had to face the scrutiny of being a young pastor in the congregation of his church. And I think that's something very important for us as a church to consider. Our young people today in our church are very talented. I know of youths at Sec 2 graduated with their piano grade 8 and even their diploma. I know of youths who memorized pi to the 30th digit. And I recall Benedict, when he was a youth, he was teaching in BB at a very, very young age, and he taught very, very well. That's why today he's also a cell group leader. This generation has a lot to offer. And if as a church we do not recognize their gifts and validate them for their service to God, then they will soon seek validation outside of the church, on social media, in their CCAs, amongst their friends, or perhaps even secular interest groups. The second issue that Timothy faced were the lies that the false preachers were teaching in the church of Ephesus. In Gen Z slang, Timothy had to deal with caps. Okay, this is very hard for me too. So when a young person says no caps, they do not mean like what I first thought as well, which means no capital letter. That's what I first, when I first heard it. They actually mean, caps actually means lying. So when they say no caps, they're trying to say I'm not lying or it's not a lie. No caps, right? Okay, got it. Remember just now, I mentioned that the Gen Z is very influenced by popular culture and trends. And that would also mean our youth and many of our young adults are also very susceptible to what others are saying about Christianity and the church. Popular movies and TV series have a tendency to portray the church as hypocritical and not trustworthy. One of such a show is Young Sheldon, a TV series spin-off from the comedy Big Bang Theory. And this series holds a tight tension between two characters. Number one, which is Sheldon himself, which is a scientific marvel, and his Christian mom. Sheldon is often challenging his mom on the notion of whether there's a God. And he finds it illogical that anyone can place their faith in an invisible man. Though this is just a TV series, the series well captures the challenges our young people face today as they interact with their educational influences of science and philosophy, which usually take an atheistic stance, which means that they are taught science and to figure out life with the absence of God. And our youth or young adults, without a good biblical worldview, a firm foundation in their Christian faith, have a tendency then to be tossed and turned, challenged and swayed from their faith as they grapple with the reliability of Christianity. And sadly, based on even my short years doing ministry here, many have been swept away by these influences and trends. Lastly, and I must add, most importantly, and I think this is what a youth struggle, a young person struggles a lot, is anxiety. If we were to put ourselves in Timothy's shoes, it must have been incredibly stressful to be a young pastor, having everyone's eyes fixed on you as their spiritual leader all the time. And perhaps that is why the Apostle Paul had to encourage him with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that says that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul knew that by sending Timothy to Ephesus, there bound to be anxiety. But he says, with the Spirit, he'd be able to overcome these anxieties. In 2020, a national population survey conducted in Singapore, young people from the age of 18 to 29 years old had the highest proportion of poor mental health. 21.5% of the young people from 18 to 29 struggle with either depression, anxiety, or some sort of hyperactivity. One such hyperactivity is called nomophobia. I just learned this last week also. No mobile phone phobia. Okay, it is the feeling of anxiety anytime they are separated from their mobile devices. And this reveals that this generation, though hyper-connected online, actually feel incredibly lonely and insecure about their future. These anxieties also inhibit their ability to express their faith publicly for the fear of being cancelled or even labelled as preachy. And also it caused them to doubt their own self-worth, resulting even in their inability to serve in ministry and in church. I think the recent movie Inside Out 2 well captures the complexity of this swirl of emotions a teenager in the 21st century go through. In one scene, Riley, who is the main character, she's going through a panic attack because she's trying her best to impress her hockey coach because she's thinking of so many things. First, her friends, her school, and then wanting to do well in this hockey and thinking so much about her future that anxiety took over Riley. Eventually, there's so much going on in Riley's mind that she just broke down. That's the anxiety young people face. So how? How can we come alongside this generation just as the Apostle Paul did for Timothy? How can we learn from Paul about entrusting the next generation today? The answer? Mentoring. Just as when someone starts work in a new environment with zero experience and uncertain of what to expect about his or her given day, we all need a mentor to help us be oriented, give us a good foundation, and eventually to help us eventually thrive in our profession. So is it with this next generation in their Christian faith. The Apostle Paul plays the role of a mentor very clearly in the two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy. Throughout the two letters, the Apostle encourages his mentee, shares that he's praying for him, tell him that he's thinking about him, and rejoicing that Timothy is very sincere in that faith. So this is a very important aspect of mentoring. Mentors are to be encouraging and genuinely concerned with those that are entrusted to them. Second, Paul's mentoring was not just personal, go out, drink coffee, and befriend. He too had a part by giving instructions. He included instructions and guidance so that Timothy wouldn't have to second guess what of some of the difficulties he was going through and what he needed to do about them. And lastly, the Apostle Paul entrusts the ministry to his disciples. Notice that he has a lot of confidence that Timothy would often do the right thing and trust that Timothy will fan into flame his gifts to serve the church. In Paul's mentoring, he delegates and entrusts the ministry in Ephesus entirely to Timothy. That's why he had to write the letter, because he's not even there. So encourage, instruct, and entrust. In the chapter, Relational Ministry and Mentoring of Generations Project, it is observed that different generations understand the term mentoring differently. Many of whom, in the boomer generation, did not have a personal mentor when they were growing up. So they found distant mentors from books and read from spiritual leaders who inspired them to live their Christian faith. For them, a mentor is one who instructs them and inspires their faith from the depth of their Christian devotion. But this is not the case for millennials and even the Gen Zs today. The younger generation is looking for personal mentors who will be willing to do life with them, especially when they go through life transitions and they might get a little bit lost. So the book tells us, Generations Project tells us, how sometimes both mentor and mentee might feel discouraged when there's a mismatch of expectation. The mentor might feel, hey, how come they don't appreciate my instructions and my wisdom for my many years? And the mentee might also then feel, I'm not given enough room to discover truth for myself. In any case, the important thing we can learn from the Apostle Paul and Timothy is this, that mentoring has to be mutual. Paul had much to offer Timothy on his wisdom with regards to how to run a church. But Timothy, in turn, proved very useful and encouraging to the Apostle Paul himself in his Christian journey. So on this note, I'd like to add one tiny detail in our text that is often overlooked, but play actually a very important role in why Paul was able to entrust the Christian faith to Timothy. And it is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. I'll read. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, which with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louis and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul recognizes that the Christian faith was first passed down to him from his ancestors. This means that someone mentored the Apostle Paul himself in his understanding of God. And later in verse 12, you will see that his faith was entrusted, the faith that was entrusted to him, Paul goes on to acknowledge the other people that played an important role in Timothy's life and mentored him. He says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Louis, and then your mother, Eunice, and lastly, the faith that is successfully entrusted to Timothy from Paul. This is important. This means that there were people who came before Paul was in the picture, to mentor young Timothy. Not just from one generation, but even the generation before. So, if Timothy was a millennial, and Paul probably a Gen X, the mom is probably a Gen X, the Apostle Paul is the boomer, and then we have the grandmother, Louis, with probably from the silent generation, if they were here today. So indeed, it looks as though it really does take a village to raise a child. It takes a lot of resources put in to raise one good Christian leader. And even as I consider for myself personally, how I've been mentored by many different people that came alongside in the different seasons of my life, Reverend Shima, who used to be my BB officer and CG leader, William, who used to do Bible studies with me in the evenings after his work, and then when I grew a little older, missionaries who mentored and inspired me for missions, and even when I was in Bible college, my lecturers mentored me and developed me in my spiritual gifts. And even now, as I'm preparing for missions, the church elders, who are mostly our boomer generations, are mentoring me and preparing me for the mission field. It's not easy. It takes a lot of time. Many meals together, many communications, miscommunications, prayers, discussions, clarifying. But when we actually mentor someone, we encourage, we instruct, and we entrust the next generation of leaders to rise. In my last point, youths and young adults, this point is designed for you. Throughout the letter, the Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy. He says this, that he is not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then he continues to say that even though he's in prison, that's because he's being a preacher. And that too, he's not ashamed. Rather, Paul earnestly encourages Timothy to fan into flame the gifts of God that was given to him by the elders and when the Apostle Paul laid hands on him to pray for him. Paul is doing his best to encourage Timothy to become a Christian leader. So I'd like to ask you a question, youth and young adult, if you are from Gen Z. Is it your aspiration to become a leader to lead others in the Christian faith? Do you desire to grow in your Bible knowledge that one day you might be able to help others and teach them about the truth so that they can tell what are the lies? Do your CG leaders or the adults in our church inspire you to grow in your Christian faith so that one day you too can serve as a leader in church? I'd like to ask all young people today to consider putting Christian leadership as one of those things that you want to pursue as a young person. Whether is it in your uni or whether you're considering your career path, I would like to encourage you to put Christian leadership on it. And for some of you, that might actually mean being in full-time ministry. As many of you take your national exams and prepare yourselves for a very fulfilling uni and career experience, have you considered the possibility of God calling you to full-time ministry? I know I received my calling when I was in poly. I know Pastor Yiling received her calling when she was at a youth camp. I'm not saying that in order to be a Christian leader, all of us have to be in full-time. But I thought it is important that we aspire to be one, so that God can really entrust you with the faith, something that you need not be shameful about, and help others in their Christian faith. Christian ministry shouldn't be seen as shameful or only when we exhausted all of life's aspirations. Christian full-time ministry is something that is worth aspiring to do one day. This is Jeannie. She was 13 years old when she became a Christian, and one day the pastor spotted her praying. And then the pastor went over and tapped her and said, "Wow, you pray really well. You can be a leader of the church one day." Little did the pastor know that that gave Jeannie a dream to become a full-time staff in church. In no time, as a young person, and this was still when she was 13 or 14, she was so earnest about it, she started a Bible study with 5 youths. 5 grew into 10, and in a few years, she was doing a group of close to 80 people, sharing her devotions with them. And finally, at the age of 28, she graduated with a Master's of Divinity and now leads hundreds of youths in her church between the ages 12 to 14. Is God inclining you to serve Him just as Jeannie did? The second thing I'd like to bring, and this is my final point on becoming a leader, is that you have got to start living your Christian life now. I find it very interesting that Paul exhorts young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, and he says this, "Let no one despise you of your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and impurity." Notice here, Paul is not saying, "Hey, look, you are young lah, just find an older Christian, look at his role modeling, and then you can do it." No, he calls the young person here to be the example to the older one. That actually means the onus of becoming a Christian leader is on Timothy. And I think that's very relevant for us today as well. We sometimes wonder why the older generation cannot seem to entrust us with certain matters. But have we ever considered if we have set a good example to earn their trust? Have we been trustworthy with the small things, enough for them to trust us with the bigger things? I recall back when I was in secondary school, it was after a BB parade on Saturday. I think a few of us stayed back, and of which was myself and Wen Wei. If you all remember him, he is a BB boy who used to attend Ang Mo Kio PC. And Niter, who was my officer then, had to lock up BB room. So after he had locked the BB room, he realized, "Aiyah, the next day he's not coming to church." So he already put out the keys to me and said, "Okay, you bring this to church and pass to this other officer tomorrow." And then suddenly he realized, "Oh, this is Wen Chong. 你一定会弄不见的." Which means you will definitely lose this key. And until now, I still lose my keys. And then he decided to pass the keys to Wen Wei, so that Wen Wei could pass the key to the rightful officer. Actually, without Niter or Wen Wei knowing, I ran from the BB room, which is this BB room, I ran all the way to the back of the church where the barbecue pit is, and I wept. I cried so bitterly because I was thinking to myself, I can't even be trusted with a bunch of keys. Looking back, I realized even I wouldn't have passed those keys to myself because I had a very bad track record of losing things. I was not trustworthy for someone else to entrust something important to me. So youths, I want to encourage you to grow in your trustworthiness. Not so that people can give you more things to do, because we can see that you're doing wonderfully in your school. Many of you are school leaders, CCA heads. I'm asking you to grow in your spiritual trustworthiness. And in so doing, the other generations can entrust you with the faith that was first entrusted to them. It will take time, because it takes time to earn people's trust. But may I encourage you, just as Paul did, to set an example to the believers. And I truly hope the older generation of Christians can see how great this generation and wonderful they are as they encourage us in the faith. Let us pray. O God, let us be a generation that seek your face. Let us be a trustworthy generation that will do what it takes to keep the faith that is entrusted to us. I pray in particular for the youth today. I pray that, Lord, you will call them into Christian leadership. Give them a God-sized vision of living their days here on earth. Give them a burden for your people. I pray that as they grapple with the many issues that they have to face in life, that, Lord, you will send faithful men who will be willing to come alongside to mentor them. That they might grow up to become trustworthy men and women after your heart. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wen Tong, for the message. In response to the sermon, let us sing this song as a prayer to God, allowing Him to help us become a generation that leads for God and allows others to see who we are in Christ. May I invite all of us to please stand as we sing this closing song together. Give us clean hands.
And sisters, welcome to the house of the Lord. I see some new faces, so if you are here for the first time, can you just raise your hand so that we can welcome you? Yeah, welcome. See friends beside Siu Kim. Are you from Cambodia? Yeah, welcome. Anyone else at the back? All right, Okay, some announcements. Oh, first of all, we also want to thank our youth team for leading us in worship. Thank you very much. We certainly entrust you. Why don't you do it more often? Not just once a year. Okay, on that note, the youth ministry has also blessed us by preparing the refreshment. Just now they serve as the ushers. And I want to invite Pastor Wen Tong to share with us how later we can engage with them in this cross-generational conversation.
Okay, happy Youth Sunday once again. Today, in celebration of Youth Sunday, the youths would like to sit with you at the canteen. Okay, let that sink in a bit. So later, after your prayer at 10:45 with your CGs, please proceed to the canteen, and you will be able to see a table that has some youth leaders, and you'll be able to see some generational texts. Okay, if you do not know your generation, you can Google it now, or you can find it on your bulletin. Okay, figure out which generation you're on, sit at the table with your label there, and if you sit at this table, you have exclusive cookies baked by the youth. Any other table, no cookie. Only if you join this very, very specially prepared table for you. Okay, so that will mean one table will have a Gen Z, some millennials, youth, and young adults. Perhaps just one table, 5 or 6 persons per table will do. Okay? So later on, what you can expect is after you eat, there will be some questions that will be prepared. Don't worry, my youth leaders will be the one to facilitate the discussion. And then there will be some interesting questions that will be asked across generations. And in closing, all you have to do is just pray with the youths. That's it. Can we do that? Can I encourage all of us to sit with our youth today? Thank you so much.
Okay, so the purpose is for some cross-generation conversation. Okay, next is I want to invite our Deacon Edward to share with us what we can expect for our church anniversary celebration that is in August, okay, how we can be preparing for that.
Morning, church. Right, my name is Edward. So I'm here to announce that this year we'll be celebrating our 33rd church anniversary. Okay, so we are turning 33. So what do we expect? Next slide, please. All right, now let's celebrate the 33 years of God's blessing and providence on MKPC by coming together as one church to care for His creation. So the theme for this year is creation care. All right, so we are now, next one please, we are now in July and the celebration is on 11th of August. Okay, a couple of things that we want to do as part of pre-event. So, as the picture say, not me, we want you to carry out creation care activity SSL group. So last year we do walking, this year we do creation care. Couple of suggestion activities. We want actually to go to the beach, but it's not safe right now. We can do litter picking, okay, as a group, and then donate or recycle. Okay, we suggest that we pick up Saturdays or weekends as a cell group to go out and do these activities. But we encourage we can also do this even post-anniversary. Right? What you can do after that, you can share the photos of your activities by uploading it into the given link. Right? We will keep the link, the Google form, open post-anniversary. Right? Next one, please. Okay, so preparation for event. Besides the litter picking, we want us to create a pot, a flower pot. Wow, these are the nice pictures. But to create, not to buy, okay? So create a flower pot, use recycled materials. Right, so just thinking, right? Oh, can I get a bottle of Coke? I cut it, it become flower pot. Can be better than that. So create a very nice one. Make it the most beautiful flower pot of MKPC. We will give a prize for the most beautiful one. And we will use it on the day itself to house plants or flowers. We will provide the soils and the flowers on that day. Okay, last but not least, we will have lunch for that day. Okay, and we don't want to waste food. So we need your help to register, whether you will attend so we can cater the food properly, not to waste it. And the last challenge is, we will not provide utensils, so we want you to bring your own plates, cups, and utensils that day. Creation care, right? All right, thanks.
All right, so let's find ways to participate. It's also in line with the sermon series that we had on creation care earlier, a few months ago. Okay, so subsequent weeks, we will give you a little bit more information. Yeah. Okay, just take note that July's prayer meeting, we brought forward to 1 week earlier on the 19th of July. Okay, so prayer meeting July is 1 week earlier, 19th of July. This is because the fourth Friday of the month is the Mission Fest happening by the EP. Okay, so we don't want us to be struggling which one to go. All right, so just take note that the prayer meeting for this month is on 19th of July. And then, of course, the cell group, if you want to use the 26th for an extra cell group session, by all means. Okay, we leave it to your cell group leader. Okay. Remember, we pray for PHS first, then we go to the canteen for the cross-generation conversation. Let's stand as we receive the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated for a time of silent meditation.